So reading today from the first canto, chapter number 18, chapter entitled Parikshit Cursed by a Brahmana Boy, text number 29. Adbhuta Purva Sahasa
Adbhuta Purva Sahasa
Shutradhyam Arditatmanaha
Shutradhyam
Brahman Matsaro Manyurevacha
Matsaro Manyurevacha
Abhutapurva. Let's do a translation. Abhutapurva.
Abhutapurva.
Unprecedented.
Sahasa.
Circumstantially.
Kshut.
Hunger.
Tradbyam.
As well as by thirst.
Ardita.
Being distressed.
Atmanah.
Of his self.
Brahmanam.
Unto a Brahmana. Prati.
Against.
Abhut.
Became.
Brahman.
Brahman.
O Brahmanas.
O Brahmanas.
Matsara.
Matsara.
Envious. Manyu.
Manyu.
Angry.
Angry.
Eva.
Eva.
Thus.
Thus.
Cha.
Cha.
And. Translation and purport by His Divine Grace. Srila Bhaktivedanta Swami. Srila Prabhupada. Translation. O Brahmanas, the king's anger and envy directed toward the Brahmana sage were unprecedented, being that circumstances had made him hungry and thirsty. Purport. For a king like Parikshit Maharaj to become angry and envious, especially at a sage and Brahmana, was undoubtedly unprecedented. The king knew well that Brahmanas, sages, children, women and old men are always behind the jurisdiction, always beyond the jurisdiction of punishment. Similarly, the king, even though he commits a great mistake, is never to be considered a wrongdoer. But in this case, Maharaj Parikshit became angry and envious at the sage due to his thirst and hunger by the will of the Lord. The king was right to punish his subject for coldly receiving him or neglecting him, but because the culprit was a sage and a brahmana, it was unprecedented. As the Lord is never envious of anyone, so also the Lord's devotee is never envious of anyone. The only justification for Maharaj Parikshit's behavior is that it was ordained by the Lord.
Om Ajnanati Mirandasya Jnananjana Shalakaya Chakshurol Nimitam Yena Tasmai Sri Guruve Namaha Sri Chaitanya Namo Vishnam Stapitam Yena Bhutale Swayam Rupa Kadamayam Kadati Swapadantikam Vandeham Sri Guru Sri Yuta Padakamalam Sri Guru Vaishnavamsha Sri Rupa Sargajata Sahagana Raghunatham Vitam Tam Sajivam Sarvaitam Savadutam Parijana Sahitam Krishna Chaitanya Devam Sri Radha Krishna Pada Sahagana Dina Bando Jagatpate
Govesha
Govika Kanta Radha Kanta Namostute Tapta Kanchana Gaurangi Radhe Vrindavaneshwari Vrishabhano Sute Devi Pranamami Hari Priye Vancha Kalpata Rupyasya Kripa Sindhubhya yeva cha patitranam pavaneyo vaishnavebhyo namo namah. Jai Sri Krishna, Jai Tanya,
Prabhu Nityananda,
Sri Advaita Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare.
Just repeat the translation again. O Brahmanas, the king's anger and envy directed toward the Brahmana sage were unprecedented. Being that circumstances had made him hungry and thirsty. Like to see the blessings of all the assembled Vaishnavas. Try and say something. My wife and I, we have come here after nearly 5 years. And we are really inspired to see this temple really blossoming in Krishna consciousness. So many wonderful devotees and such ecstatic kirtans and classes. So it's an honor and privilege, and I feel completely unqualified to be sitting over here and speaking to all of you. So please bless me that I'm able to say something. So we have been discussing all these days about this particular pastime of Parikshit Maharaj, who, as has been discussed, being a king, was fulfilling his responsibility of going out and traveling all over the world. And during the course of his travels, as he is riding on his horse, he comes to this particular place, and all of a sudden he feels an insatiable thirst, which completely overpowers his senses. And then, feeling so thirsty, he looks around to see if there is any water available. And not seeing any water around, he sees that there is a hermitage of a sage. And he enters into that hermitage and he has the darshan of Shramik Rishi, who is sitting over there in Samadhi. And the king, although of course is a pure devotee of the Lord, he looks at the sage and requests him for some water. But the sage, being in Samadhi, does not hear him. And then the king is feeling very much neglected. And here in this particular verse, we are seeing how the king actually becomes angry. And Srila Prabhupada, in this very beautiful purport, is explaining about the behavior of Parikshit Maharaj. And Srila Prabhupada concludes the purport by saying that because Parikshit Maharaj was a pure devotee of the Lord, for him to feel hunger and thirst, which cannot be satisfied, was actually unprecedented. So we have to understand that actually it is the arrangement of the Lord. So we see that throughout the Srimad Bhagavatam, actually even before Parikshit Maharaj comes on the scene, so many events happen which is nothing but the arrangement of the Lord. Now we all know that Parikshit Maharaj was the son of Abhimanyu and Uttara, and Abhimanyu is the son of Arjun, one of the five Pandavas. And Abhimanyu was such a heroic warrior that on the particular that particular day of the Mahabharata war, where all the Pandavas came to know that the Kaurava leaders are planning to make this Chakravyuh, which would surely annihilate a major portion of the Pandava army. The only person that the Pandavas could think of who could actually venture into this Chakravyuh and try to negate the effects of the Chakravyuh was Abhimanyu. So Yudhishthir Maharaj approached Arjuna and told him that please send Abhimanyu to the Chakravyuh. And then when Arjuna went and spoke to Abhimanyu, Abhimanyu told him that I know the science of entering into the Chakravyuh, but I don't know how to come out of the Chakravyuh. But still, because it is a desire of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Krishna, I don't have any issue. Because Abhimanyu knew that this whole thing has been arranged by the Lord. So there was no need, he never felt the need to resist the instruction that was given to him by his father. And also Abhimanyu knew that finally at the end of the day we are all dependent on the Supreme Personality of Godhead for everything, including the air that we breathe. And he also knew that his wife Uttara, who by that time was already pregnant, would be taken care of. So without any hesitation, Abhimanyu went to the battlefield. He entered into the Chakravyuh. And he was actually creating a huge amount of destruction in the Kaurava army. But then he went inside, further in and in and in. And the moment he started going inside the Chakravyuh started closing around him. Which meant that since he didn't know how to come out of the Chakravyuh, he was actually entering into the jaws of death. But then the Mahabharata describes how Abhimanyu actually did not give up hope. Right up to the end, you know, he was fighting. He was not fighting for his life. He was just fighting as a duty to the Pandava army. Whatever he was doing it entirely out of his sense of duty. And even towards the end, when seven great warriors from the Kaurava army, Duryodhana, Kritavarma, Dronacharya, right? Now these were some of the Maharathis of the Kaurava army. When all of them came and surrounded Abhimanyu, still Abhimanyu was fighting so ferociously that Bhishma, who was standing there on the side and watching, he was completely overwhelmed with pride. He was feeling so much pride in his heart that, you know, this valiant son of Arjuna was displaying such an amazing amount of skill and dedication. He was completely focused on his service to his father and to his and to the Supreme Personality of Godhead. So Abhimanyu was actually displaying a quality that all of us need to have in our path in this journey that we have all undertaken. Some of us are new, all of us are actually in one sense new. But then we understand that this particular journey that we have undertaken is something that is eternal. And this is going to give us a permanent solution to whatever problems we are facing in this material world. This is the assurance that Lord Krishna gives to us in the Bhagavad Gita. Anybody who takes to this path and who is resolute in his purpose will meet with success in the end. And finally,
ಅನನ್ಯಾಸ್ ಚಿಂತೆಯಂತೋ ಮಾಂ ಯೇ ಜನ ಪರ್ಯುಪಾಶತೆ ತೇಷಾಂ ನಿತ್ಯಾಭಿಯುಕ್ತಾನಾಂ ಯೋಗಕ್ಷೇಮ ವಹಾಮ್ಯಾಂ. ಅಭಿಮನ್ಯು ನ್ಯೂ ದಟ್ ಕೃಷ್ಣ ಇಸ್ ಗೋಯಿಂಗ್ ಟು ಫೈನಲಿ ಪ್ರೊಟೆಕ್ಟ್ ಹಿಸ್ ವೈಫ್ ಅಂಡ್ ದ ಚೈಲ್ಡ್ ದಟ್ ಇಸ್ ಇನ್ ದ ವೂಮ್ ಆಫ್ ಹಿಸ್ ವೈಫ್ಸ್ the child who is in the womb of his wife. Abhimanyu knew even that is going to be protected by Krishna. And later on, as the pastime unfolds, when Ashwatthama releases the Brahmastra, at that time, the Lord, because Uttara is, you know, helplessly, she comes to Krishna and prays to Krishna that please protect this child that is there in my womb. Krishna comes and protects Parikshit Maharaj. Krishna actually enters into the womb of Uttara and Parikshit Maharaj gets the darshan of the Lord at that particular point of time. And Parikshit Maharaj, right from the time he comes out from the womb, actually he is searching. Because that particular darshan that he sees of the Lord is so overwhelming that throughout his life actually he is looking out once again for darshan of the Lord. And that's the reason why he is actually named as Parikshit, one who is always seeking. So Parikshit Maharaj, although he was feeling that after this whole pastime gets over, that why is it that he actually did such a thing as putting the snake in the shoulder of the sage? And as he was going back to the palace, he was feeling a great sense of regret. And he was thinking in his mind that, you know, definitely for this particular offense that I've committed, I'm going to be facing a tremendous amount of retaliation. There is something that is going to happen to me which I'm not going to be able to overcome. And then as soon as he gets the news about this curse that was given to him by Sringi, actually Parikshit accepts this as a very positive news. He says that this is very good news. And is actually very happy. Because this, he realizes, is an opportunity for him to get out of the cycle of birth and death. And then immediately he renounces everything and then he prepares to give up his body. See, the Prabhupada explains in the purport that actually Maharaj Parikshit had 7 days to live. But none of us know how many seconds we have got to live, how many hours we have got to live. And we think that everything is going on so nicely in our life. Life is so comfortable. Even for practicing devotees, sometimes it becomes, you know, so difficult to even remember that soon we are going to leave our body. Right? Although we might be hearing the Bhagavatam class every day and we might be coming to the temple every day and we might be hearing the philosophy every day, still we are not able to constantly remember that very soon we will be required to give up everything, whatever we have in our position, including our family members, our wealth, our position in society, whatever we might have achieved. Everything is going to be just taken away in 1 second at the point of death. So Parikshit Maharaj was very grateful. And this is that particular quality of gratefulness which all of us need to have. And we see throughout the pages of the Srimad Bhagavatam and the Chaitanya Charitamrit, so many personalities are exhibiting this particular quality of gratitude. Like in the Chaitanya Charitamrit, we have this very beautiful pastime of a Brahmana. Now this particular Brahmana was actually a brahmachari, a very, very renounced celibate. And he was so austere that he would only drink milk every day. And it is not that he would do it in order to show off to people that he is so austere, but it was just that he was so renounced that actually he was quite happy just by drinking milk. Now this Brahmana came to know that every day Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and his associates would be performing pastimes at the house of Srivas Thakur. And his desire to just witness the Lord, you know, performing this pastime was so strong that he would keep approaching Srivas Thakur that please, please give me an opportunity to perform or to participate in this pastime, or just like to see the Lord dancing. But Chaitanya Mahaprabhu had given very specific instruction to Srivas Thakur that under no circumstance anybody other than my immediate associates shall ever see me dancing. So Srivas Thakur was very much aware that if somebody witnesses the Lord and the Lord comes to know about it, he'll be extremely displeased. So he kept telling this Brahmana, no, I'm very sorry, I can't be giving you this darshan. So please forgive me. Very nicely and affectionately was keeping on telling the Brahmana this. But the Brahmana was very insistent, very persistent. And then finally one day, Srivas Thakur, just seeing his determination, seeing how determined he was to have the darshan of the Lord, finally relented. So this is the determination that all of us are actually needing to have if we want to take darshan of the Lord. Just like we were discussing yesterday about the determination of Dhruva Maharaj. Now if one actually sees from the pastime of Dhruva Maharaj, you know, he had the darshan of the Lord within 6 months. What would ordinarily take other very, very elevated saints, thousands and thousands of years. In fact, the Prachetas had to do tapasya under the water for 1,000 years in order to have darshan of the Lord. Kandama Muni had to do tapasya for 1,000 years in order to have darshan of the Lord. Right? So, Dhruva Maharaj, because he was so determined and his focus was so intense, of course he was having some material motivation why he wanted to have darshan of the Lord, but nevertheless his desire and his determination to somehow or the other get the darshan was so strong that within 6 months he had darshan of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. So this Brahmana also was extremely determined, and Srivas Thakur finally relented and said, okay, you can come to my house, but you will have to hide in a corner, right? In such a place that you will not be seen by anybody. The Brahmana was so ecstatic, he was so happy that he came and hid in a corner. And then Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, that particular evening, started performing his dance. And as he was dancing in ecstasy, all of a sudden he stopped. And then he turned to Srivas Thakur and said, why am I not feeling ecstasy today? Is there somebody in this room who is not supposed to be there? Now, Srivas Thakur is a Vaishnav. He can't tell a lie to the Lord. Although, you know, he was trying to mask it in a different way. So he said, he told the Lord, my dear Lord, let me tell you, there are no atheists over here. And there are no blasphemers in this room. But Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was not satisfied. He said, there is somebody in this room who is not supposed to be here. Tell me who is it. And then Srivas Thakur said, my dear Lord, there is this very, very austere Brahmana. And he's so austere that he only drinks milk. He wanted to have your darshan so desperately. He was so determined to have your darshan that I just allowed him to come and stay in this room so that he can have your darshan. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu became furious. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu screamed. He said, does this person think that by just drinking milk he'll be able to witness my pastimes? austerity is not a means to achieve devotional service. Devotional service is a matter of the heart. Get this milk-drinking brahmana out of here. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, at the top of his voice, he screamed to Srivas Thakur. Srivas Thakur was completely taken aback. Immediately he fell at the feet of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and escorted this person outside the house. But the best part was that as this person was leaving the house, it was not as if he was angry, although he could have been angry. I mean, he's just like, you know, any of us who are practicing Krishna consciousness, just imagine a situation if, you know, we are giving voluntary service to the temple and all of a sudden somebody comes and shouts at us and tells us, you know, in such an insulting way that, you know, by all your austerities, what do you think you are trying to achieve? You know, what would we feel? You know, at least for me, I can say I would definitely be brokenhearted and just collapse in shame and anger also. That how could this person ever tell me such a thing? But this brahmana, he was actually insulted by the Lord in front of all these people. But then as he was leaving the hall, as he was leaving the house of Srivas Thakur, this brahmana was actually feeling a sense of gratitude in his heart. And he was feeling so nice that, you know, he had an opportunity to have darshan of the Lord. So Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is the Paramatma in the heart of all of us. And then he could, the Lord, you know, could see that this brahmana, instead of being angry, he was actually being grateful. So Chaitanya Mahaprabhu then sent Srivas Thakur to get this brahmana back once again to the house. And then, you know, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu embraced this brahmana and then told him that you can, from now onwards, participate in the pastimes. Right? So this is the quality that the Lord is seeing in all of us. Are we actually grateful for what comes upon us in our life? And during the process of Krishna consciousness, not that everything is going to be happy. Right? Of course, in one sense, Krishna consciousness is blissful. When Srila Prabhupada said, chant and be happy, it means just that. Just by the process of chanting, we become so happy and blissful in Krishna consciousness. Right? But that doesn't mean that difficulties are not going to come into our lives. This is a world of duality. Lord Krishna says in the Bhagavad Gita, Matras Parshastra Ponteya Sitoshna Sukha Dukkada Agamam Paino Nitya Stamti Tiksha Swabharata. This material world is such that there will be happiness and distress which will come into our lives, just like the summer and the winter season. But a person of discrimination has to understand how to tolerate them. So a devotee of the Lord tolerates difficulties in his life and somehow the other advances in the association of devotees on his journey back home, back to Godhead. Understanding fully well that whatever comes in his life is by the arrangement of the Lord. It has been ordained in my life that I should be having this suffering. So having suffering in our life is not a great thing, because that is the law of nature. And each and every one of us are subject to the laws of nature. Right? Just because we are devotees doesn't mean that we are going to be exempt from the laws of nature. Right? Because this material world is dukhalayam ashashvatam. It's a place of misery. And it's a temporary place. So miseries are going to come into our life. But how we reciprocate with those miseries is what Krishna actually sees. Are we going to become angry? Like in this particular pastime, we are seeing how Parikshit Maharaj became angry just for that particular moment. Right? Are we going to become angry and vindictive towards anybody who creates any disturbance in our life, or we are going to accept it as Krishna's mercy. Just like Lord Brahma prayed, Tattenu Kampam Sushamikshamano Kunjana Yevatma Kritam Vibhaga. A devotee of the Lord understands when difficulties come in his life that this is actually the arrangement of the Lord, and he just tolerates it. Of course, we are not at the level of Kunti Maharani. Kunti Maharani, although she went through all these tribulations in her life, you know, when Krishna was leaving for Dwarka, her prayers to Krishna were that, please, my dear Lord, please let me have more and more distresses in my life. But Kunti Maharani was a pure devotee, and you know, she was a relative of Lord Krishna, right? She could pray like that. We can't be praying like that, because, you know, then it will become artificial, right? I remember once there was a sannyasi in our temple, and one devotee asked this question to him, that when we are having difficulties in our life, or rather, you know, can we go and pray to the Lord that, my dear Lord, just give me that much difficulties in my life as I can tolerate. Is it bona fide for us to pray like that? And the second question he asked was, should we ask devotees to pray for us when we are in difficulty? So then the sannyasi answered so beautifully. He said, yes, we can go and pray to the Lord whatever we want, whatever is there in our heart, definitely we can pray to the Lord. But we are in the movement of Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. And Chaitanya Mahaprabhu has said, Aslishya va padaratam pinastumam adarshanan marmahatam karotuvam yatatata va vidadatu lampato mat prananatastu sa eva napara. My dear Lord, you might embrace me or you might kick me, but I am eternally your servant. That is my constitutional position. And for the second question, the sannyasi said that as far as asking devotees to pray for us, we have to ask devotees to pray for us all the time, not just when we are in trouble. Because prayers of the devotees are so powerful that the Lord actually manifests millions of years when other devotees pray for you. When we pray to the Lord may or may not listen to us. Because finally the Lord is as independent as we are. Right? We have this independence which we have exercised to come into this material world. And then we go to the Lord and then we pray to Him. So the Lord is also equally independent. So why should the Lord listen to our prayer? Right? There's no need for the Lord to listen to us. But when a devotee goes to the Lord and then prays on behalf of another devotee, then the Lord actually manifests millions of years. Because that is the path of the process of devotional service. Approaching devotees in a humble state of mind and requesting them to pray for us. So the sannyasi was saying that even in good times and in bad times, we need the prayers of devotees. So that's the power of prayers. Because for Krishna, a devotee is so valuable that he says in the 11th canto, Mad Bhakta Puja Vidika, worship of my devotee is more valuable to me than worship of myself. Right? So he tells Uddhava that a devotee is so valuable to him we have to be when we are dealing with devotees. Right? Because a devotee is very dear to Krishna. And anything that we do to a devotee which is out of envy, out of pride, is Vaishnava Aparad. And Krishna is not going to forgive us for that. If we commit an offense against Krishna, Krishna may overlook it. But if we commit offense to a devotee, Krishna is not going to overlook. Really have to suffer terrible, terrible consequences for Vaishnava Pradhan. So this quality of envy, which is deep-rooted in all our hearts, has to be overcome. And the best way by which we can overcome this deep-rooted, anartha of envy in our heart is to appreciate. Because that is the antidote for envy. So when we actually appreciate devotees with a very genuine heart, Krishna is actually so pleased. I don't remember whether I had mentioned this particular pastime last time when I was here, but this particular pastime is so much ingrained into my consciousness, you know, that even though I might have narrated it last time, I would still like to repeat it. Because we see over here from this pastime how the Lord Himself takes it as His responsibility to glorify and appreciate His associates. Time and again you see in the pages of the Chaitanya Charitamrita, not that Krishnadas Kaviraj Goswami just touches on that topic, he actually goes into great detail in order to highlight this particular point of how important it is for us to appreciate devotees. So once when the devotees were all returning back from Jagannath Puri, back to Navadvip, in those days, you know, it's not such a large distance, it's 500 kilometers from Jagannath Puri to Navadvip, but people would not have any mode of transport. It was not as if there were trains those days or there were cars or any such mode of transport. People only had to walk, and it would take them 1 month to walk from Jagannath Puri to Navadvip, and it would also take them a month to walk from Navadvip to Jagannath Puri, and they would spend 4 months in Jagannath Puri with the Lord, which meant that every year 6 months they were on vacation. So fortunate, isn't it? Wish all of us were there at that particular point of time. But here, just in order to get 3 weeks of vacation, you have to do so much of effort. You know, make an application to the boss, catch hold of his lotus feet, and and then at the end of the day, when everything is all set for your vacation, it has happened to me several times, when everything is set, your tickets have been booked and your hotels have been arranged for and everything, and then all of a sudden the boss says, "I'm sorry, you can't go." Right? Have any of you experienced that? I don't know whether it happens like that in Australia, but in India it's very common. Right? You're planning for your vacation, and you know, you've done everything, and then you're eagerly looking forward to the date, your family is very excited and everything, and then just the day before, 2 days before, the boss says, "I'm sorry. Sorry, sir." They call us Prabhu. "I'm sorry, sir. You can't go." So, what to do? So anyway, the devotees would spend 6 months in all away from their home. And just in one particular year, as the devotees were bidding goodbye to Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu really became overwhelmed just to see the devotees, and you know, and he knew that, you know, because the Lord also faces separation from His devotees. It's not that the devotees only face separation from the Lord. The Lord is also a person. Right? The Lord has the same amount of emotions, of course multiplied quadrillions of times, but the same amount of emotions that we are exhibiting towards Him, how we are feeling so much of love for Him, the Lord feels much, much more love for His associates and His devotees. Right? So all the devotees, there were nearly 200 or 300 devotees, they were all bidding goodbye to Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Then Chaitanya Mahaprabhu became so overwhelmed that he got all the devotees to himself. And Chaitanya Mahaprabhu started glorifying all those devotees one by one. First and foremost, he started glorifying Raghav Pandit. And he told the devotees that, "What can I tell you about the devotional quality of Raghav Pandit? Is such a pure devotee that when he does deity worship, he is so intense and his meditation is so complete." And then Chaitanya Mahaprabhu started saying that this Raghav Pandit, actually in his backyard, there is a huge coconut tree, which gives hundreds and hundreds of coconuts. But the Naga Pandit would not be happy to offer those coconuts to the Lord. If he came to know that in a place which is like 20 to 25 kilometers away, there would be a coconut tree which is giving much, much more tasty coconuts. Although it was available at a price which was like 10 to 15 times of the coconuts that were available locally, 10 to 15 times. Still, Raghava Pandit would go all the way to that village 20 kilometers away, walking, in order to purchase those coconuts, and he would bring those coconuts back to this, back to his house, and then he would put it in cool water. There were no refrigerators those days. He would put it in cool water, and then at the time when it came for him to offer this coconut to the Lord, he would just clip off the top of the coconut and offer it to the Lord. And he would do it with so much devotion that sometimes the Lord would actually come and drink the coconut milk. Raghava Pandit would go into such ecstasy that then he would scoop out the kernel, put it in a separate plate and offer that to the Lord. Till what time we can go on, bro?
Till 9. 9,
okay. Okay. So, he would be so happy when he sees that the Lord is accepting this coconut milk that he would scoop out the kernel and offer. And sometimes the Lord will come and eat that coconut kernel too. And then the Lord started saying that one day, as Raghava Pandit was observing, his servant was bringing this most valuable coconut, this most priceless coconuts, all ready for offering. And then as he was entering into the temple in order to offer this, accidentally he touched the ceiling. And Raghava Pandit was thinking to himself that, you know, the ceiling has the dust from all the devotees' feet. So how can anybody touch it and not be pure? So he has to be contaminated. So immediately he stopped this servant from offering this coconuts and told the servant, you just throw this coconuts away. And then Raghava Pandit brought some more coconuts, fresh, and offered it to the Lord. This is a standard of deity worship, actually. You know, even when we are worshipping deities at home, sometimes we take our deities also so casually. You know, of course in the temple we have very elaborate standards which we have to follow. But at home, the Lord will reciprocate with us to the extent that we serve Him. Ye etam mam prapadyante tam satayva bhajamiham. Mama vartamano vartante manushya partha sarvasaha. To the extent that we surrender to the Lord will reciprocate. Right? So our deities at home are none different in one sense than the deities that are there in the temple. The Lord has come in that particular form to allow us to worship Him at home. Right? So to the extent that we have a proper standard of deity worship in the house, to that extent we'll be able to see so much of spiritual vibration in that house. So Raghava Pandit's example is not just for following in the temple, but also to follow for deities that we have at home. Top class kind of. And then Chaitanya Mahaprabhu turned towards Mukunda and asked Mukunda, Mukunda, who is the father? Are you the father or is Raghunandan the father? Now Raghunandan is actually the son of Mukunda. So Chaitanya Mahaprabhu turned to him and asked him, who is the father? Are you the father? Or is Raghunandan your father? And then Mukunda said, actually Raghunandan is my father. And Chaitanya Mahaprabhu said, yes, anybody who brings us to Krishna consciousness is our father. Right? So in this glorious movement of Srila Prabhupada, we have so many different types of gurus. We have a Diksha Guru, we have a Siksha Guru, we have a Pratapadaksha Guru. Right? So the Pratapadaksha Guru is one who brings us to Krishna. In one sense, he is to be respected as much as a Shiksha Guru or a Diksha Guru. Like the one who has first given our connection to Krishna. We always have to be so grateful to him. because he has established our connection to this movement. Right. I don't know how many of you all remember, but I remember my Pratapadakshan Guru very, very clearly, as if it happened yesterday, although it happened maybe 20 years back. Right. How he would come to my house and spend time with me and explaining to me this process of Krishna consciousness. Right. And I would keep on asking him questions, question after question after question, because somehow I wanted to drive him away from my house. You know, I didn't want him in my house actually, because all the time he was talking about Krishna, all the time he was chanting, all the time he was, you know, wearing tilak, kanti mala, and you know, I used to find him very odd. Say, what's this guy, you know, looks like a freak of nature. I don't want him in my house, contaminating my house. And I would just, you know, I would keep asking him question, hoping that particular question he would not answer, and then I would say, okay, now you get lost. But he was so sincere. All the questions that I asked, all the time that I wanted, he would spend with me. And he would ask me, you know, he would encourage me and tell me and, you know, and give me the glories of the wonderful aspects of Krishna consciousness. He'll say, is there a place that you have ever eaten such prasadam as you get in the Krishna consciousness movement? And, you know, just talk to me about all the nice aspects of Krishna consciousness. He'll never talk about chanting, you know. He would never talk about coming to the temple and associating with devotees, but he would just keep glorifying the nice aspects. Oh, you can do whatever you're doing, there's no worry, you know, you just take your own pace, and you know, there is no need for you to wear a kanti mala, there's no need for you to wear a tilak, and you know, once in a while you call devotees home and give them prasadam and all those things, you know. I mean, I'm able to remember it as if it happened yesterday. So Pratapadaksha Guru is one to whom we have to be eternally grateful, because he connected us to Krishna. Right? So Raghunandan, being the son of Mukunda, his father accepted that Raghunandan is the one who actually brought me to Krishna consciousness. So he is my father. And then Chaitanya Mahaprabhu turned towards Vasudev Dutt and started glorifying Vasudev Dutt as if he was, as if he had hundreds of mouths. And Chaitanya Mahaprabhu said, Vasudev Dutt, what do I tell you? How can I tell you about his glories? How glorious is he? Vasudev Dutt, at the bottom of his heart, wants that each and every living entity in this material world should be liberated and taken back home, back to Godhead. That is his desire. And I'm not surprised, because Vasudev Dutt is none other than an incarnation of Bhakta Prahlad. Because in the 7th canto of Srimad Bhagavatam, when Lord Narsingadev is asking Prahlad Maharaj for a benediction, what is it that Prahlad Maharaj asks the Lord? Prahlad Maharaj says, I can't ask you anything. I don't want anything. Because asking you anything will make me into a businessman. But if at all you want to give me a benediction, my dear Lord, please give me this benediction. That every living entity in this material world should get liberated and go home back to Godhead. So this was what he expressed to Narsingadev. So Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is also Narsingadev. So Chaitanya Mahaprabhu knew. And Vasudev Dutt is an incarnation of Prahlad. So Chaitanya Mahaprabhu said, I'm not surprised, because he is after all an incarnation of Prahlad. And then Chaitanya Mahaprabhu became so emotional. Tears came into his eyes. His voice choked up as he was saying that his desire to liberate each and every living entity from here into Golok Dham is so intense that Krishna will definitely accept whatever he wants. And finally, for Krishna, what is this material universe? There are millions and millions and millions and quadrillions of universes, and in that, this earth planet is just one insignificant part. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was saying that if there is an audumba tree, and there are so many fruits in that audumba tree, and if one of those fruits fall down, is there any loss for that audumba tree? Similarly, in a basket or in a bag filled with mustard seeds, if there is one mustard seed that falls off, is there any loss? What's that loss? It's insignificant. So for the Lord also to liberate all the living entities from this universe and take them back home, back to Godhead, there's no loss. But you, Vasudevda, you don't have to do this. You don't have to go to the hellish planets for this purpose. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was extremely grateful for the services of all the devotees. So the Lord is also grateful when he sees that we are trying to serve him in a humble mood, respecting Vaishnavas, appreciating them. Because the Lord is teaching by his own example how important it is to appreciate other living entities. What to talk about Vaishnavas, right? Because a Vaishnava would not even harm any other living entity. Right? We are so careful not even to step over an ant. Right? Because we know that that's also a living entity. And who are we to take away his life? So the Lord gets overwhelmed with gratitude when he sees that devotees are in a very nice, humble mood, serving each other, appreciating each other for whatever they are doing, even though it might be insignificant, right? In your eyes. But actually it's not insignificant in Krishna's eyes. Right? In Krishna's eyes, whatever we do is absolutely significant. Like Prabhuji was mentioning day before yesterday, how did Prahlad Maharaj came into being? Right? On particular day, in his previous birth, he was there, you know, in a temple of Narsingadev, and that whole night he just fasted over there. Right? Because he didn't get any food. Not that if he had got food, he would have definitely eaten, but he didn't get any food that whole evening and that whole night. And some people say that you actually cleaned the temple, right, of Narsingadev, and that particular day happened to be Narsinga Chaturdashi. And in his next birth, he was Prahlad. Similarly, Narad Muni. What is Narad Muni's qualification to be Narad Muni? Right? In his previous birth, he was the son of a maid servant. And what is the qualification of a maid servant? Right? Absolutely insignificant personality. And he was the 5-year-old son of the maid servant. But he was so fortunate that he had this association of this Mahabhagavats who came over there and who spent the months of Chaturmas. And just by associating with them, and because they were so kind to him, they were so merciful to him that they gave him their remnants, just by honoring that remnants of those Mahabhagavats, in his next birth he was Narad Muni. Sometimes we underestimate the power of Mahaprasadam. Right? We take Mahaprasad also for granted. That's this human, this mind, you know, that we want to discriminate, you know, that this is Karela, this is sweet rice. You know, so we go for the sweet rice, not the Karela. Right? But if we are in a proper consciousness, then whether it is Karela or whether it is sweet rice, we take it as Mahaprasadam. Because, again, in the pastimes of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, we have this such a beautiful story. We don't have time now, but just to touch upon it, Jadu Thakur and Kalidas. You know, Kalidas was a Brahmana, Jadu Thakur was born in a Shudra family, but Kalidas had such a desire to honor the Mahaprasad of Vaishnavas that he would go all over the place. You know, he would go to Vaishnavas' homes and he would wait till he got the Mahaprasad remnants of the Vaishnavas. And it so happened that one day, he came to know that this particular person, Jadu Thakur, who was actually belonging to a very low caste, but very elevated devotee, very advanced devotee. He was staying in a particular place, so he purchased some mangoes, wrapped it up in a banana leaf, and carried it to the house of Jadu Thakur. Jadu Thakur welcomed him and paid his obeisances, and Kalidas paid his obeisances. And then they had a very nice, wonderful exchange among them. And then Jadu Thakur asked Kalidas that, "My dear sir, I cannot cook for you," because in those days the caste system was so strong that a person of a lower caste could not cook for a person of the higher caste. That was the caste system in those days, and Jalu Thakur was very conscious of the caste system. So he told Kalidas that I will make arrangements for you, for your boga, to be cooked in somebody else's house. So please wait and, you know, honor prasadam and go. Kalidas said, no, there's no problem. You please take this mangoes. And then he just said a few more words and then he left. And Jalu Thakur accompanied Kalidas all the way to the entrance of his house and then saw him off. But then Kalidas did not leave. Kalidas just hid in the bushes because he was waiting for nectar to come. So Jalu Thakur went inside, offered the mangoes to Krishna, and then he and his wife honored those mangoes. And whatever was remaining, the seeds, the skins, everything, he wrapped it once again in the banana leaf and his wife brought it outside and threw it away. And that is the moment that Kalidas was waiting for. And Kalidas, after Jalu Thakur had shown Kalidas to the door, and you know, Kalidas was observing all the footprints of Jalu Thakur as Jalu Thakur walked towards his house. After Jalu Thakur went inside, first thing that Kalidas did was he took the dust and smeared it all over his body. And then once this mangoes came out, or the remnants of the mangoes, then Kalidas went over there into that rubbish bin, took out those mangoes, and in such ecstasy he was eating the remnants, the Mahaprasad of these devotees. One day it so happened that Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, every day, you know, when he would go to take darshan of the Lord, at the bottom of the steps, there was a tap from where Chaitanya Mahaprabhu would wash his feet before entering into the temple. And on that particular day, when Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was washing his feet, all the associates would guard Chaitanya Mahaprabhu to ensure that nobody took the water that came from the lotus feet of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. But on this particular day, Kalidas happened to be there. And as Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was washing his feet, Kalidas went over there, put his hands below Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's feet and dragged that palmful of water. He did it the second time. And he did it the third time. And then when he went to do it the fourth time, then Chaitanya Mahaprabhu stopped him and told him, yes, you've had enough. This is the way Lord reciprocates with his devotees. The Lord knew that Kalidas was such an exalted soul that he had so much attachment to Vaishnavas and the remnants of their Mahaprasadam that the Lord felt the need to reciprocate with him. And not only that, later on, as the Lord was having his prasadam, you know, the Lord would finish his noonday duties and then come to Gambira, where the Lord would sit and Govinda would serve prasadam to the Lord. And from the window, Kalidas was watching the plate of the Lord. And the Lord saw him, watching him. Right? And what did the Lord do? The Lord called Govinda and told him to take those remnants and give it to Kalidas. So Kalidas got all three actually. He got the lotus dust, the dust from the lotus feet of devotees. He got the Mahaprasadam of the devotees. In this case, he got the Lord. And the water that washed the lotus feet. Right. So these are the three most powerful substances that are known to humanity, you know, which is so valuable to us for making advancement in our spiritual lives. And we all have to hanker for it. Right. So anything that comes from the Lord as Mahaprasadam, we have to think that that's actually Mahaprasadam. And all this I'm talking for myself, you know, and not make a discrimination whether this is a good Mahaprasad or that is good Mahaprasad. Finally, it's Mahaprasad. So it's already 9:05, so we'll end over here. If anybody has any questions or comments, we can take it up in the next 5 minutes. Yes.
Develop this.
Srila Prabhupada said that if you don't feel enthusiastic, we have to act enthusiastic. Right? So sometimes we may look at the Vaishnav and not want to appreciate him. We may actually want to criticize him. Right? But we are sadhakas practicing Krishna consciousness, and we know that if you're going to criticize him, it's actually going to mean a big damage to our Krishna consciousness. Right? And there is nobody in this world who doesn't have some qualities that you cannot appreciate. Right? Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur would follow this practice among his Brahmachari ashram. Right? If there are two devotees, and devotees will have differences of opinions, right? Because the nature of this material world is that human beings, you know, by their very nature, will have differences. Right? Husband and wife have differences, right? Who are supposed to be actually, you know, one soul in two bodies. But what to talk about other human beings? So Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur, when he would see any brahmachari, two brahmacharis having difference of opinion which are very, very strong, he would call both of them to him. And then he would tell one brahmachari that you see some good quality in this brahmachari and you appreciate it. Now this brahmachari would be thinking, what quality is there, you know, this rascal? What quality does he have, you know? But then he is having a spiritual master in front of him. So just imagine your situation if you have a spiritual master and is telling you, I want you to appreciate his good qualities right now. Right? He really has to rack his brains. And then, you know, he comes out, you know, he wears his dhotis very nicely. Right? Just by saying that, you know, that's an appreciation. You know, he has a very long shikha, whatever, you know, whatever you may want to say. Something in front of your spiritual master. And he would tell the other brahmachari, now you appreciate some quality in this brahmachari. And again he would scratch his head. But then he would come up with something. So that's the point. That we may not feel enthusiastic to appreciate devotees, but we have to do it as a matter of service. Right? And that's what Krishna sees. Finally, our whole process of Krishna consciousness, you know, Krishna is not actually seeing, you know, whether we are chanting 32 rounds or 64 rounds or 128 rounds or whatever. Krishna is seeing how much effort we are putting, how sincere we are. You know, there's three things that Krishna is actually constantly seeing. Whether we are serious, whether we are sincere, and whether whatever we are doing is without any ulterior motive. Is there any agenda for what you're doing? Is what Krishna is seeing. Right? Ahaituki apratihata means what? Unconditional, unmotivated love. That means without any conditions, we want to please Krishna and we want to please the Vaishnavas. So that's what Krishna is saying. So how sincere we are in trying to connect to devotees and make them happy and, you know, make them feel wanted, loved, cared, right? Srila Prabhupada would say that for every devotee who comes into the movement, I have shed gallons of blood. Right? So every devotee is so valuable. And if you are not careful, what we speak, how we speak, when we speak, right? Time, place, circumstance, you know, if we don't take cognizance of that and we are not careful and we just speak something which is so hurtful to a devotee that the devotee never comes back into the movement, Krishna is going to be displeased. This is a very beautiful pastime in Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur's life. It is really very, very instructive. I just take 2 minutes. This is, you know, there was this brahmachari in a particular temple which had a new temple constructed, and Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur was to come and inaugurate that temple. So this brahmachari, he just got into some little bit of a connection with a woman, and all the other brahmacharis sort of pounced on him and, you know, told him, you know, what have you done, and you are ashamed to the ashram, and they told him so many things. And then this brahmachari was feeling, I mean, it was not really an indiscretion, but just that, you know, he happened to be caught up in that situation like that. Just like Chota Haridas got caught in a situation which Chaitanya Mahaprabhu did not forgive him. But here, he was feeling very much remorse in his heart, you know. And he just left the temple. In the middle of the night, he just walked out. And then Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur came to the temple, and all the devotees welcomed him with garlands and everything, and you know, Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur was walking inside the temple, and all of a sudden he turned to his to the temple president and asked him, you know, where is this brahmachari? I'm not seeing this brahmachari. And then the temple president became very embarrassed and he said, you know, this is what happened to this person, and you know, he left the temple. So Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur immediately became so angry. He said, this temple will not be inaugurated until you go and find out where this brahmachari is. All the devotees became very agitated. I mean, here their Guru Maharaj has come to inaugurate the temple and he is saying that I am not going to inaugurate the temple unless and until you tell me where this brahmachari is. So all these brahmacharis, you know, they went around the village to find out where he was, and suddenly one person remembered that this person is an expert in repairing watches. So then they started going around to people who are actually repairing watches, and in one such shop they went and inquired, do you have a person of this description? And that person said, yes, he's working in the backside. And then the brahmacharis went over there, and this brahmachari, he was so happy to see his godbrothers coming. Immediately he paid obeisances and they embraced each other, and then they told him that your spiritual master is inquiring about you, please come. And then this brahmachari came to the temple and he fell at the feet of Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur, and Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur embraced him. He was so overwhelmed. So mistakes, you know, are bound to be there. Now this is material world, that we are going to have mistakes. We are going to have devotees, you know, who are going to make mistakes. But so what? Krishna is tolerating so many of our mistakes. Our spiritual master is tolerating so many of our mistakes. Are we perfect? We are imperfect. So many imperfections. Right? But he's tolerating us. So why can't we tolerate another devotee even though he might make a small mistake? So this was the message Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur was giving to his disciples. Right? So that's the message for all of us. Never take a devotee lightly. Serve them, associate with them, and Krishna will be pleased. Hare Krishna. Srila Prabhupada ki jai. Tatra Srimad Bhagavatam ki jai. Gaura Bhakta Vrinda ki jai.
Jai.